Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
And, if you have somebody that might be sick at home, I felt the Lord speak that to me during worship time. So if you know somebody that needs just a prayer cloth or something like that, we're going to anoint them. We're going to pray over them tonight, take them home, and put them with people. Amen. We'll do that tonight at the end of service. But if you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians. We are rolling through Ephesians, and we've been doing a study and kind of a book study out of the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. I know we've taken a few breaks here and there, and chapter 5 will be actually the last of Ephesians that we did. Pastor Miranda had preached a message on Ephesians 6, so we're wrapping all this together just to have our Ephesians series that'll be available to you guys on podcast as well. Praise God. God is good. Even before I jump into Ephesians chapter 5, I want to show you a few scriptures. If you have your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 first. 2 Timothy 4. Let's pray over the word tonight. Father, I thank you for just the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, I thank you for the anointing. And Father, I thank you for the revelation of your word. That, Lord, we leave here tonight with clear path forward in understanding your word. And I thank you, Lord. Open up the minds of our understanding tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to read this as we get into Ephesians, because it kind of flows from this into that. But 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, you'll see that in verse 3 it says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound, wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." This is out of the NLT. So there is a time coming when people will no longer listen to sound doctrine. And I think one of the things that you're going to find that through Paul and through the teachings of Paul and the epistles and the letters given to the church, you'll see that, Paul's dealing with conduct, but he's also dealing with a lot of warnings. There's things that are given to the body of Christ. There are warnings given to the body of Christ that, and in the last days, you see that you actually see this. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound, wholesome teaching. And guys, if there's ever a time, it's now, because people are so distracted. The body of Christ in its own self can be so distracted and, from just different teachings and, I believe even a lot of it to be false teaching. And there's just a lot of dangerous things out there that get thrown out into the world. And, it's like, honestly, you have people that, people that will follow you online and, and people that are, I know people watch us online. I'm thankful for that. I'm very, very thankful for that. But we live in a generation and day where people can turn, if something rubs them the wrong way, if they're listening to the preaching of the Word of God and something kind of rubs them the wrong way, they'll just change the channel. That's a little too touchy. Pastor's talking about sin today. I don't want to talk about sin. I don't want to talk about hell. I want to talk about heaven. I want to talk about all the good things. Amen. I don't want to listen to a message on hell. I don't want to listen to a message on how I need to change my behavior or anything like that. But we live in a generation where people will follow after their own desires. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. But so much in what you can get into in the book of Ephesians is understand Paul's talking about conduct. He's showing us in the Word of God how we should be. Now, I want you to understand, behavior and conduct does not save you. The grace of God saves you. You guys understand that, please. Your conduct and behavior does not save you. It's the grace of God that saves you. But Paul is always pointing people in the right direction so that we walk worthy. Amen. That we walk with the holiness. We walk in the appropriate conduct. Amen. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. I love, in 2 Timothy 4:2, out of the Amplified, Paul had declared this to Timothy out of the Word, and it was one of the, as I was reading today, it was the one word that I felt that I had heard in my spirit when we entered into the missions field 2011, 2012. But it was, you know, but it was that word, preach the word. And this is how the Amplified, as an official messenger, be ready when the time is right, even when it's not. Keep your sense of urgency. And that's one of the keys to what I believe is going to help us double this year, is that we're keeping an urgency. I believe there'll be an urgency in the preaching of the word as it's shared. And you know, I believe there'll be an urgency in our life groups this year to double our life groups, to reach people, to multiply across worship teams, whatever it is. There'll be an urgency because Jesus is coming back. Can I be very real with you tonight? He is coming back. And I believe that even within the lifetime in which we're in, we could see that return. Amen? So we understand that. We preach and we prepare ourselves to be ready for him at any given time. Amen. Prophetically, there's not from what we can even see out of scriptures that's not really holding a lot of things back, other than the fact that we want more people to come into the kingdom of God. We want more people to come in and give their life to Jesus. Amen. And that's important. That's important. Praise God. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's get into that. That's a little bit of an intro into Ephesians 5, but you're like, Pastor, we're not even in Ephesians yet. How far are we going to get tonight? We're going to work through this. Praise God. Ephesians chapter verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Some of it, just even the first part out of the Amplified. I want to read this verses 1 and 2. You guys there in Ephesians? Have you enjoyed going through the book of Ephesians? I have too. Amen. Ephesians 1, I'm going to read out the classic Amplified. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well, beloved children, imitate their father and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a slain offering and a sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Even that scripture is out of Ezekiel 20, verse 4. But you'll see one of the things that even in the first part of this, Paul's saying, imitate God, copy the behavior, copy the things that you see in the scriptures. You look at the life of Jesus. You examine. You know, why do we have a go team? Well, it's because we do evangelism. We want to see people get saved. We're copying a behavior. It's not a behavior, but we're copying something that we've seen in the scripture. Jesus sent out the 70. He told them to go out and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Amen. Tell people that the kingdom of God is at hand. So we see these as examples that we're to imitate God. We're to be Christ-like. You know, Christians, that word Christian, anybody in Bible class, you will remember that Pastor Miranda said it the other night in Bible class. You know, that Christians was coined, actually was Antioch. Is that correct? That it was the first place that the term actually Christian came about, and it was that Christian meant little Christ. It meant that, you know, we were Christ-like, but we're to imitate God. We're to be like God. Amen. You know, can I take a step forward, just because even to see this, because Paul says this in First Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, pattern yourself after me. Let me take it a step. We're supposed to imitate ourselves after God, but Paul says something very unique to the church, and he's saying it through the epistles. He's saying, look, imitate me. Follow the pattern that I'm following. And so, you know, we have the pattern set before us, godly people. You know, I'm thankful. I don't know if anybody's thankful in the house, but I'm thankful that God has brought people before me that I could look at and say, I want to be like that. I want to act like that. I actually want to talk that way, right? I don't want to talk stupid anymore. I don't want to, that person seems like they have it together. But Paul's saying that. He's saying that to the people. Say, look, imitate me. And please hear me tonight, because that's what we want. We want people to have the basis that this is what a Christian life looks like. That, you know, I'm not running to the bar on a Friday night and a Saturday and going to church on a Sunday and saying, man, I was with a bunch of sinners, but I'm in church on Sunday. You know, we're to imitate God. And I don't want to get down the wrong road here, but we're to imitate those people that are even around us. Amen. That God does that. He'll send people into your life that, man, that will be an encouragement. You know, but you know, Paul, go back to 1 Timothy, because Paul said, you know, people will be about their own selves. They'll be about their own desires. I don't need to imitate myself after anybody. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. You know, some people even got the tattoo. You can't judge me. You know, only God can judge me. That's so silly. Because, you know, people in our culture, they're going to judge people. You're going to be judged by people. If you do stupid things, people are going to notice that you do stupid things. I'm not going to get hung up on the wrong words tonight, but people do stupid things, right? So we don't want to do stupid things as Christians. So imitate, Paul says, pattern yourself after me. Follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ. That's what Paul says. So you know, we could stay here a long time even on this, but we're going to get moving through this. But I love that passage. And let me say this, because you know, he goes on to talk about love. And let me say this, because if we learn how to walk in love, you know, last week in Ephesians 4, there were over 16 different types of conduct or behaviors. If we learn how to walk in love and truly be in love, a lot of the behavior gets corrected. A lot of our behavior gets corrected when we put on love and we choose to walk in true love. Not just the fact that, well, you know, I love you. You know, love is an action. I can tell my, you know, I've said it before, you know, I can tell my wife I love her. I love you, I love you, I love you. I can tell her that every day of the week. But if I don't show her any kind of affection, or I don't do anything else, my love for her is only superficial. It's only through a word. So love is an actual action, you know. So I walking in love, we have to focus on that. If we love God, you know, the other side of this is if we set our hearts and we set our minds and we say, you know what, I'm going to love God, then we have to find out what God loves. What does God love? God loves people. Yeah, I just don't like people. I'm just gonna stay home. I don't want to be around people. God loves people. You know, it's like, you know, it's when you go out. You go out with a smile. Go out with the right attitude. Amen. I mean, many of you guys I've seen in the grocery store. I remember one time I seen Shannon, and your daughter was at Walmart. And I'm just like, hey, what's going on? You know, I was just excited. And I think that's how we need to be as Christians. Not just have our head down. You know, not just, you know, you've got to be a believer, right? Be the light. We're the light in the world. Praise God. Praise God. But it's important that you understand that love is the key to pattern ourselves. Walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another. What a powerful scripture. That, you know, this is what we're called to do. We're called to love one another, esteeming and delighting in one another, actually caring about one another. You know, when you go to meet with someone, it's not just to blah. You know, it's not just to share with them everything that's going on in your life and everything that's crazy and everything that's destructive. Sometimes you just, you know, people don't do that here, right? We don't do that. People, not in Kings, right? Nobody does that at Kings. But you know, it's listening to others, listening to the heart of other people. That's what Christ is about. Amen. Loving one another as Christ loved and gave himself up for us. You know, so why do we love? Well, he first loved. That's why we love. So love is the cornerstone. So even as we start in this, you go through the first nine verses of Ephesians 5. I mean, let's just jump into it. Amen. Let's jump into it. Let's look at Ephesians 5 through 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Now, catch this out of the scriptures. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Now, so Paul's getting into, He's getting into behaviors. He's getting into, keep in mind, grace saves you, right? So we understand that if we mess up, we have an advocate. We have Jesus who will forgive us. Amen. But Paul clearly is doing something here. He's showing us in the scriptures that if you stay in this behavior, if you keep and you stay the course and you stay in this behavior, you can go to hell. So, you know, that's why he's showing it. You know, that there's the grace of God. We need the grace of God. But, you know, to understand, you know, even to talk about sexual immorality. You know, we need to do a better job of talking about what sexual immorality is and what it means and the severity of it. You know, we adopt a lot of mindsets and you know, things that God calls sin. And, you know, sin that will lead to death. Sin that can actually take you to hell. But, you know, I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was like, you know, he said, one of the things, you know, he was identifying some issues in his church. And, you know, and again, it's something that we have to be willing to talk with our church about, you know. And he was talking about couples that were living together, and you know, and even had came to the pastor. You know, pastor, we're not having sexual relations or anything like that, but we're living with each other. Why would you do that? You're setting yourself up. You're positioning yourself for something bad to happen. You know why do you, you know, what's the term I'm thinking? You know, couples don't marry now. They what is it? Cohabitate. Well, it's not the word, but it's not that they cohabitate. They are cohabitating, but just hope. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. I was getting ready to make a joke, but better leave that alone. But you know, they don't get married. We'll just stay together. We'll not marry, and we'll just go through that thing. And you know, we'll live as we're married. But you know, but what happens is there's no commitment, right? That we understand that even from a physical sense, there's no commitment when people live that way, but there's no commitment to God. I realized something. When I said my vows before my wife, it was like, oh man, this is serious stuff. I knew enough at that point, like how serious it was. Amen. So it's important that we understand that, you know, sexual immoral behavior. Our kids today, guys, you know, kids today, please hear this. You know, if you have young kids, you have kids in, let me just go back to elementary level, right? If you have kids in elementary level, if you have kids in junior high, man, you've got to pay attention. You've got to be alert. You've got to pay attention. You know, as you know, devices, every kid has a device. And, you know, I had seen a statistic the other day, and they were talking about how basically trafficking and this stuff that's now a reality in our life, kids are trafficked at the age of 8, 9, and 10 years of age off of the internet. Trafficked. You know, you think, in West Virginia, does that happen? Oh, yeah, it happens here, too. It happens here, too. You work at DHHR. I mean, you could sit and tell. I know you can't tell stories, but it happens. 8, 9, 10 years of age, that some pervert in some area is trying to traffic some elementary level kid. But we have to understand, and what happens is it pulls a generation of people into, you know, into sin. Yes, we know it's sin, but it pulls them into what God calls as sexual immoral, and we grow up thinking this is normal. I had seen something popped up on my screen today. I was on Facebook checking the messenger. Something popped up and help me, Jesus. You know, it was like, you know, something to the effect that pornography doesn't equate to being sexual immoral. And it was like an organization, and I'm like, what is this all about? What did they, you know, and I'm like, and they had all these references in the Bible, like it's sin. It's sin. And so we can get, you know, I'm not trying to hang around on this one, but we can get into a place where these things are so dangerous and they're so in our face as a culture, social media itself. You know, Pastor Moran and I, we'll watch TV. We'll find something to watch. I sit with the TV remote in my hand in case something happens on TV that's not good. There's times a TV remote will fall on the floor and we'll be watching something and we're both like tackling each other to get the remote because there's something trashy on TV. Somebody's dropping a bad word or, you know, there's a scene that's getting ready to go south. You know, Sal, you guys, you get what I'm saying, right? Y'all adults here tonight, right? You understand. So you understand that, you know, this is, and it's like you have to, you could be watching what you feel like is the best movie, and you'll be watching it, and all of a sudden they drop one word in it, and was like, why did they have to say that? Or one scene that's like, why? The story plot was good, everything was good, and now you've ruined the whole movie. And if somebody, did you watch that movie? You know, it'd be like, yeah, but you know, they did this or they did that. You hate to even tell anybody that you've watched something that you felt like was okay, but then there's that one scene. I always tell people, you know, if I watch something, you know, there might be some language in it. But you know, when you got to sit around, and we don't watch a lot of TV. Our downtime a lot of times is between 11 and 1. Like that's our downtime where, like, if we're watching anything, it's like between 11 and 1 o'clock in the in the morning. It's like we're just vegging out for a while, and I don't know. A lot of times it's comedy. We'll just, you know, sometimes it's good just laugh. Amen. Anybody just need to laugh sometimes? Amen. Oh man, I don't want to get hung up in this, but you know, sex after marriage. You know, that's a commitment. And you know, I'm thankful. You know, there are people that I know that are doing that and have done it and will do it. You know, teaching people how to dress. Let me just, I might as well just go for it, right? I'm here, right? How people dress. You know, guys and girls, please hear this. How people dress is important. You know, what people walk out of their house in is important. You guys understand that stuff is like, what's Pastor talking about tonight? This stuff is like, this is the real world. We have to have real world discussions in the church. You know, it's like I got grandkids now. And I, you know, Kavai, if she walked out of the house and something that I felt was inappropriate, I'm going to be, honey, you need to go back in there and change. And we had a daughter. You know, sometimes we had to make adjustments. Not that our daughter was like, you know, whatever, but, you know, we just had to make adjustments. Why? Because we know that there are guys. We know there's the opposite, right? I'm a guy. I know, you know, guys think a certain way. Or guys might have a different preview of things in their mind. So, you know, how we dress is important. Girls, guys, how we dress is important. You know, I'm not a skinny jean guy at all. So, but some people wear pants so tight, males wear pants so tight. I'm like, what are you doing? Anyway, I hope I'm not, am I stepping on anybody's toes tonight? Amen. I mean, you know, they got the slim fit. It's a little wider at the bottom. Go for that. Amen. So, guys should wear guys' jeans. How's that? Am I all right tonight? I'm in the right house. Girls should wear girl jeans. Amen. So, I told the story to my daughter the other night. I said, I remember one time I went to try a pair of jeans on, and they were like my size and length, and I was like, and I'm like just looking at them, and I'm like, I went to the dressing room, and I got one leg in it, and I was like, man, that feels tight. And I looked down the one leg, and I'm like, oh no. And because I thought they were like a slim fit style jean, which, you know, that's not, they're a little wider to bottom, and it was real tight around my calf, and I was like, oh no, I think I just put one leg in a skinny jean. So anyway, Lord, I repented. So amen. So amen. I say all this to be mindful if you're raising kids or even you. I mean, you know, young people, even just be mindful of that. You know, it's so important, so important. I don't want to get hung up on this whole area. What we say, you think about this. You know, coarse joking or what we say, how important it is not to get into or fall into, hey, did you hear the joke about such and such? You know, catch this tonight, because as a Christian, we think when we get saved, you know, I gotta tolerate everything. You know, because that's the Christian thing to do. If somebody starts down a road with you that's foul mouth, that's whatever, you could excuse yourself. just say, you know, no, I don't want to hear that joke. It's okay for you to say that, because what people want a lot of times is a response. They think it's funny, or they'll wait till people leave. It's like guys, you know, they'll wait till all the women leave and tell a joke. It's okay for you to say, no, hold up here. I don't need to hear that. You know, and that's the thing. We do this because it pleases God. And I think sometimes we've got to switch our mindset. And I believe Paul, that's what he's saying to the church. You know, you do this to please God. You're not in this to please people. These behaviors, these conducts, it's so that your focus is to please God, not man. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Man, that's big in our culture. I hear Christian use cuss words. It bugs me. I'm just saying. I think it's very distasteful. I mean, honestly, like even for me, when I got saved, I mean, God, I felt it. I felt like there was my language changed. I didn't cuss. I didn't swear. I mean, I maybe did some before. But even I've listened over the years and how people people would say my G-O-D, like, and I can't even say it, you know, and they flip it, they flip the word, like, my G-O-D, and like I can't even say it because I believe it's borderline taking God's name in vain, and I know that's a commandment. I know that I can't even just say it to as a fun way of being like some Christian, like how some people will use things like that. These things, I tell you, God changes that. He changes that, the inner man. I begin to pay attention to the new person, the new me. It's like the new me doesn't talk this way. But so it's so important that you listen to people's speech. But you know, just because you hear a Christian say something, you know, it's, man, you know, people will take a word or context of a word and then they'll think, well, it's okay to say this word. It's really not a cuss word. You know, but what does it look like? What kind of message are we sending to people when we talk that way? Right? You know, if I walk out and I go to Aldi's or I go to Walmart or I go to the mall and I start swearing, I start using those words, how does that help my witness? How does that help my witness? So I say all that because Paul's addressing. I don't know where I'm at right now, but I know. Verse 4. Look at that again. It says, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." That's New King James. "For this you know, that fornicators, unclean persons, nor covetous man, who is the idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God." You know, covetousness, you know, to understand that, like, it's, we're not to look at people and idolize what they have. We rejoice when somebody's blessed, amen? We don't look at people like, you know, if I only had what they had. You don't covet people's stuff. This church is great because people are thankful when people get blessed. Something good happens to people. Somebody gets something. Somebody gets a job. Somebody gets a car. Somebody, we rejoice in that. There aren't people walking, I can't believe that person got, you know, we don't act that way. We praise God. We praise God. We thank God because we know that God is the best. You know, he's the one that give us that. Praise God. Where am I at? Verse 6. Let's keep moving through this. Don't tell, there's just so much here. Don't tell dirty jokes. Don't, as a believer, don't get into that. You know, I read this joke off of the internet. It's really funny. You know, it's got one little thing in it. If it's got one little thing in it, leave it alone. But, you know, that's the thing. I listened to this song. It's a good song, but it's got this one part, you know, you know, I say something else. I had a buddy tell me one time. He's like, you know, all music's good. You know, it's good. You just, you know, when they say, and I was like, I just looked at him and said, how dumb is that? He was like, you know, it's like, you know, this country song I really like, and I just change the words in my head when it comes up. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you change the words in your head? They just said, let's do something that's wrong. Anyway, and how do you, no, that's what they're singing. You've got to guard against music. You got to so many of these things you got to guard against because you'll find yourself singing something. I think Brother Stephen was telling me what was the song you used to tell me about it last night. In the Eye of the Storm. I don't even know what the song is, but you said like literally they speak. I'm not bashing Caleb. It's not what I'm doing. But go ahead. See, what in the world? Don't sing that. Can I, huh? Yeah, and it probably did. But it probably did. But why would I sing that? Why would I say that? Those things are real. Those things happen in life, but we don't attach ourselves to letting those things come out of our mouth. Because we're giving life to. We're opening up a door. We're opening up a window to things that were I'm going to be healthy and live. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be profitable. Amen. I'm not going to lose my job. If I lose my job, God's given me a better one. And so it's like, I think sometimes, man, that's where we've got to learn to hold. The storms, the things of life, scripturally, you will be challenged in life. Amen. You're going to have challenges, but you're not defeated. And I think that's the place that we have to take with God. I'm not defeated. Amen. If you're a Christian, guess what? You're not defeated. If you go to heaven, you get your eternal reward. You're not defeated on this earth, nor in the next life. You have a 1,000-year millennial reign with Jesus Christ, and then you have an eternity with Him. You're not defeated. So we push. Amen. Amen. And I wasn't trying to put you on the spot with that. So, and you're right. It probably did happen. But we have to be careful not to sing, not to glorify, not to boast upon our problems. We're overcomers, amen. Our vocabulary. How important is it that we change our vocabulary? Praise God. Ephesians 5 through 6. Let's look at it. 6-9. It says, "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Don't participate in these things that people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you proceeds only what is good and right and true." So we're called to live differently. Amen. Aren't you thankful you live differently? Aren't you thankful that, you know, God's helped you? That you, I mean, wow, I could go back and you hit rewind even 15 years ago. I'm thankful I live differently. Amen. I'm thankful that I'm growing from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen. You know, so, you know, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't. And that's the thing. Don't be fooled by the enticing things of the world. Don't fall victim. Don't fall prey to the bait of Satan. Amen. We've talked about that. We've talked about the bait of Satan and how, you know, the enemy, just what he does is he puts a little bit out there for you to come and snag a hold of it. That's what the enemy does. If you'll just snag a hold of a little bit, we'll see how far this thing, how far I as the enemy can go, how far I can twist, how far I can turn. Keep this in mind. Keep focus. Keep your focus to please God and not people. Keep your focus to that in everything that I do, I'm working to please God. I'm not working to please man. Colossians 1:10, it says, "Then the way you live will always be honorable and pleasing to the Lord, and you live, and your life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." So you live a life that's honorable to God, that pleases God. How do we please Him? We read His Word. We get His Word into our hearts. The precepts, the things, we learn His Word. We focus on His Word. Praise God. Let's look at Ephesians 5:10. Let's pick up there. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about some of the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Determine what pleases the Lord. Determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. When we expose things and we bring things into the light, let's be honest. Sometimes when things get brought into the light, it hurts, right? It's like, God, there's something that the Lord touches. He'll touch something in your heart. Maybe it's I said the bait of Satan. Maybe it's an offense. The Lord touches something. You've been offended. Somebody hurt you. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's something that God touches. You know, the one thing that you do is you bring it into the light. You know, because the Bible shows us, even around offense, if you're at odd with your brother or your sister in Christ, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to them. Not run to your neighbor. Not invite three of your friends over. Hey, guys, you wouldn't believe what the pastor said last week. The Bible tells us, avoid gossip, avoid slander, avoid those things. Because nothing good comes out of it. If somebody offends you, somebody, and I'm using offense as an example, but you get it into the light. And I tell you, that's one of the things I learned. It's like, I remember one time that I felt like the pastor had said something in a service. And of course, I was young in the faith, and I thought, well, he's talking about me. I'm going to go ask him. How prideful was that? How stupid was that? And I did. He was in his office at 12 o'clock every day, and I went, and Pastor, I just had something I wanted to ask you about. You was preaching the other day, and I said, you touched on something. Was you talking about me? He just looked at me and laughed. Now I know, right? The Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Bro, you talking about me? I mean, I had a guy recently look at me and say, I don't know if I'm coming back. Did you talk to anybody? Did you know? How do you know what's going on? I don't know anything that's going on in your life. The Holy Spirit knows. And that pastor, it was just what he began to tell me. He's like, listen, he said, I could show you my notes. I'm not going to. It was Pastor Ronnie. He was like, I could show you my notes. I'm not going to, but that's how the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit touched something. And so what it did was it opened up the door for me to have the dialogue with him over an offense that was in my heart that I needed to go deal with. And he was like, you just need to go talk to this person. It's probably a misunderstanding. You know what? It was a misunderstanding. But what happens when you bring that problem into the light? And that's what Paul's saying. When something happens like that, it's like you expose it. Amen. You bring it into the light. I'm telling you, sometimes it might hurt. Amen. You bring it to an altar. I shared with this church many, many times. When I first got saved, I answered every altar call. Why? Because I felt like I needed to repent every time. Every time there was an altar call, I felt like I'm not. I got to repent again. How many times can I get saved? I got saved one time, but I felt like I needed to get resaved every time. But then I got the revelation of salvation. Amen. I got the revelation of sozo, what it meant to be saved, what it meant to walk with God, what it meant to love God, what it meant to love people, what it meant to get this stuff out of my mind. All that junk, right? Yeah, because we're human. Humans carry junk. It's like we're junk collectors up here. We got a lot of junk, and God's wanting to heal. He's wanting to heal, and he's wanting to bring healing to that. It's like I love that the Lord is in that business of fixing people. He can take things that have happened in your life, maybe when you're a kid, maybe this happened, maybe that happened, or the wildest stuff. And what he'll do is he'll fix that. He'll fix that for you. He'll bring somebody into your life that will come around you and love you through it, that will help you through it. Man, that's what our God does. That's how much he loves us. I mean, I find anything out of Ephesians 5. If you focus on love, you're not going to go wrong. Love will fix a lot of things. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your mind. Love your neighbor. I think about it. Those two things. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The two greatest commandments in the New Testament. If we focus on those two things, honestly, I don't feel like we're going to divert or stray away from a lot of things. If we focus on those things, love God and love people. So we can't ever have the attitude, I don't really want to be around people. That's not who God is. That's why we win souls. That's why we share the gospel. Amen. Please God. And I said to Colossians 1:10, but focus on pleasing God. Focus on pleasing God. You know one of the most dangerous things that we can say is, I'll do it tomorrow. It's one of the most dangerous things we can say. I'll get it tomorrow. I'll change that behavior tomorrow. I'll work on it tomorrow. It's one of the most, because you know what we'll do? Tomorrow will come, and then what will we say? Tomorrow. Right? Guilty. Guilty. But it's one of the most dangerous things, when God begins to put his finger on something, and God begins to, he begins to touch something, he's wanting you to deal with it today. He's wanting you to connect to that very thing now. It's like forgiveness. It's something I walk in forgiveness with people. My wife, I mean, even at times where, we never fight. Her and I never fight. We never fight. Our marriage is, we have a blessed marriage. But like, anyway. We're going to talk about husbands and wives next week. That's in Ephesians 5, and that's in the last part. We're going to talk about that next week. That's going to be a lot of fun. I promise you, that will be a lot of fun. But if I'm at odd with my wife, one of the things I do, I'm like, I want to get things right. I'll drive her bonkers sometimes. She's like, I just need a break. Just go for a drive. Go get a hamburger. Go do something. You go be you for a little bit. I'm going to be me. In 27 years of marriage, I've learned finally, let's just take a break. Rather than, hey, honey, I'm just saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I hate being at odd with my wife. I hate being at odd with people. I want to work to be able to get into a place where things are forgiven, things are worked through, things are talked through. And, sometimes, and you learn through a marriage, sometimes you just need to take a break. Then you come back together, and then you take that problem, and you identify it, and you work on the problem. But, it's healthy, amen? But you clearly have to have, it's good to have rules. Because, my wife needs space. Like, if we're in a disagreement or anything like that, it's like she just needs some time or space. And I need to honor that, because God tells me to honor my wife. So go get a cheeseburger, Brad. Step away, Go in the garden. That's not my garden. It's her garden. I do something else. I don't know why I said garden. I think I'm nervous about this year already. Last year she had me in the garden a lot, so. It's my idea, I guess. Said, I'll build you a fence. Next thing I know, I don't know what happened. We built Fort Knox is what we built. Praise God. Anyway, sorry. I'm working on my focus issues too. I just hope you guys know that. Bring things into the light. Expose them. If there's a sin, bring it into the light. If you're not odd with people, bring it into the light. Hey, can we it's simple enough. Can we talk? Hey, I've got a question. Got a thought. Bring things into the light. God wants to bring that kind of healing to our lives, right? Can I tell you this? Because even when you do that, some people are going to be like, I'm not going to talk to you. Can I tell you what happens, though, is that your conscience and things in your life begins to, God's like, okay, you've done what you've needed to do. Now move on. It's not that you're forgetting about that person. It's not that you're blowing that person off. You still love that person, right? You're still in a position. You position yourself to help that person, but you don't carry. You don't have to carry stuff. You get right with people. Amen. It's so important. Be right with people. I'm jumping around a touch here, but praise God. Ah, yeah. Determine what pleases the Lord. It's so important that you figure out what pleases the Lord. Your obedience pleases the Lord. You know, that's so, your obedience pleases the Lord. God tells you to do something, and you're obedient to that. That pleases God. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith pleases God. Amen? It pleases God. Let's look at Ephesians 5:14. It's just, let's go through 20. It says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's, I rejoice in this. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, the scripture here, be careful how you live. Be mindful, be thoughtful of how you live as a believer. This is the key. This is like one of the keys to Christianity. You've got to have a plan. If you wake up with no plan, you wake up as a believer with no plan, guess who's going to have a plan for you sometime before the day's out? The enemy. So I have a plan. I have a plan in the morning to pray. I have a plan to read my Bible. There are daily things that you set things in. You make a plan. If you don't plan in life, what happens is we fall prey to the enemy's tactics. We fall prey to just accepting whatever. So planning is critical for every believer. So you need to have a plan. You plan to study the Word, to pray. I was listening to Joyce Myers. I don't know, it was last week, and I listened to her sometimes in her teaching. But she was in one of her conferences, and she said to the group, she said, I would rather you, it's her conference. So she's a great teacher of the Word. She said, I would rather you spend 30 minutes at home reading your Bible. 30 minutes at home, reading your Bible, hearing from God, and getting a plan from God, then come to one of my conferences for 3 days. Because you'll get more out of that. You'll get more out of God releasing an assignment in you, paying attention to what God wants you to do. And so it's like, and please hear me today. Everybody's busy. Some people work 2 jobs. Some people work 3 jobs. I mean, people are busy. How do I get God into my life? How do I get routines in my life? Little things I'm going to give you here. You have to begin to make a plan. I'm going to look, what's my tomorrow look like? What do I have going on tomorrow? I begin to make a plan. I begin to lay it out. I begin to lay things out, and I begin to see things. I begin to see things differently. There's certain days I prep. There's certain days that I know that I have to, Saturdays, Wednesdays too, I begin preparing Monday, a Wednesday's message a lot of times on Monday. I'll begin to just get the flow of where I want to go. Tuesday a little more, and Wednesday I hit it hard. Sunday like that for me is like Friday. And then Saturdays, it's just like usually pretty intense study day. These are days, routines that you establish because it's my job, right? Pastor should do that, right? Praise God. So it's my job. It's her job, And, I've learned over the years, it's like when Pastor Miranda studies, I walk around the house like this. you know, now. I used to, like, slam every door in the house. You know, I'd walk in every 15, 20 minutes. Hey, I got an idea, you know, thinking about starting a golf course, you know. Hey, I found a new truck. I thought about buying a new truck. And, hey, oh, by the way, you know, I just thinking about putting a swimming pool out back. You know, anyway, so. And buying a hot tub, praise God. So I said that before you guys, so, you know. So it's okay if I say it before the church, right? So, amen. Have a plan for your life. Can I be honest with you? There's a key to this, though. You have to fight for that. You have to fight to have a plan. In 2025, you're going to have to fight to have a plan. You're going to have to get up and you've got to be determined. That's why, I believe this is the shift this year for this church, for the people of this house. It's like when we talk about doubling, you know, everything in this church, you know, it's like we're getting ready to position ourselves to plan, to see God's word, to see the truth of God's word. But, you know, we're going to fight for it. We're gonna dig in. We're gonna put our heels in, and we're gonna fight. We're gonna fight for this. This is the other side. There will always be a cost to pursuing God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's gonna cost you something. Minister Lee Howe and then moved from Hawaii. It cost them something. I remember when Minister told me, he's like, man, I remember his truck. You said, I think I'm just going to have to leave my truck in Hawaii. I said, praise God, let's have faith that you can just get your truck shipped over here. He's like, oh, Pastor Brad. I said, let's pray. And his truck got here. Amen. How many of your truck been running? 5, 6 years. Amen. Praise God. Paid off truck in 2 months. There ain't nothing better than a paid off truck in West Virginia. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, I, Brother Greg, paid off truck in West Virginia is a good thing, isn't it, brother? So, amen. We'll be able to put lift kit on it now, jack it up, put some 33s on it, take it mudding. Mudding, anybody know what I'm talking about? Mudding? Some of you, come on now. I am from Ritchie County, so you guys, if you don't know what mudding is, you know, Shannon's shaking her head. She knows. Yeah, you guys got coal mines that you go mudding in, right? You know, I know there's roads out this way. Anyway, let's get ready to close this out. But you have to fight for this. You have to fight. You have to fight in the planning. You have to fight in the time. You have to get determined. There's a determination that you have to have as a believer. You have to. You know, in everything you do, you've got to be determined. You got to have a determination. God's going to give me an idea. I'm going to be determined in that. Amen. I'm going to get focused. I'm going to have focus in this. I'm going to see it, and I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to begin to see it. You know, 3 years ago, the Lord, these 5 years have been interesting in the process of planning a church because, you know, it's like when COVID hit, you didn't know if anybody was coming back. I mean, we lost 10 or 12 people just like that, you know, and it's so, and so it's like, you know, so you go through this process, but it was about 3 years ago that I could truly begin to see what God was wanting to do here in West Virginia. And I'm still seeing it. Amen. Isn't that great that God gives us vision? But he's given people in this house vision. You know, I got a brother here that's doing a giveaway. I'm gonna have you share that here in a second. Has a vision to do something in Fairmont. God does that. He gives people a vision. He'll encourage people with a vision. It's so that you can run with it. Amen. It's so that you can see it. And God honestly, this year at this conference in Maui, there was something that got in us, and I could feel it. I was like, I'm coming home with a word that Doctor not only has for this church globally, but a word that was being birthed in my spirit. And it started back in November of last year. And I could begin to see it. Actually, it started the year before in November when Dag Howard Mills anointed, dumped a whole bottle of oil over my head. I could see the growth of the church, and I could see this church meeting in another location that would seat 400 or 500 people. And I'm thinking, Lord, yeah, that's a church. We're going to build a church. And it was like, and I kept seeing it before the church was built because God wants to do it now. Can I get an amen? God wants to do that now. He doesn't, you know, we can't wait to grow the church before we build a building. So, you know, I've prayed, I've fasted, we've sought the Lord, you know, and God is opening that up. And I praise God. I want to be able to share news with this church on Sunday. And I'll know more. I can't release everything yet, but I believe God's opening that door for this house, and we're going to reach more of this community. Amen. God's going to pour out His Spirit on Fairmont, West Virginia, and there's going to be a spillover. That spillover is going to go to Morgantown. It's going to go. It's going to go to Clarksburg. It's going to go to Salem. It's going to go to Parkersburg. You know, I live in Ritchie County, grew up in Ellenburg and Harrisville. It's going to touch that, and I believe in Upshur County. It can go there. You guys understand? That's what I'm. God wants to pour out His Spirit. And He's looking for a people that will just, He's not looking for a perfect people. He's not looking for a people that have it all together. He's looking for a people that say, yes, Lord, we'll do it. We believe You. And we got to just step into it and trust God. And you know what we do along the way? You know, what God's talking about here, He's talking about cleaning yourself up. What not, Paul's talking about through God and through the Word, He's talking about living a clean life. You see in Ephesians 4, you see in Ephesians 5, there are 16 roughly in Ephesians 4. You move into Ephesians 5, you'll see what Paul's saying to the church. Do these things. Get these things out of your life. Talk right. Don't tell bad jokes, you know. Love me. I mean, you'll begin to see everything that Paul's saying to the believer. Man, and when we do these things, you know what's fun? When you start doing these things and you start living this way, you read stuff like that and you're like, man, I'm doing that now. I don't tell bad jokes anymore. That's none of you, right? None of you told bad jokes, right? So I'm doing it because I love God. But praise God. You know, I've said it several times, and I've felt it over the last couple months, you know. Our greatest prayer to the Lord sometimes is, Lord, help me. Don't complicate it. You know, I don't talk to God in King James. I don't. I'll sit down on a stump. Father, I need help with this. Lord, we need a building in this community, because I know You want Your church to grow. Father, will You help me acquire a building? Father, will You help me raise the funds for a new church building? Father, will You show me how to? Will You show me how to do these things? Lord, help me to be a better pastor. Help me to be a Lord. Show me the things I need to do to be a better husband. You know what I do sometimes? Well, you know what I do a lot of times after that? I just shut up and listen. I get my notebook out. And the Lord begins to say, well, you know, son, you should do this or you should do that. You should, you know, and begin to listen. That's how I've communicated with God pretty much since I've been saved. I need His help. We need His help. I don't know how you communicate with God. You know, it's important that you make it personal, though. You get personal with God. He's a personal God. He loves you. I remember, you know, Pastor Miranda shared that testimony one time, and she shared it in this house, and I think it was in a dream that she had had. Was it a dream where you were met God in the field, and God was, can you share it? Huh? What's that? It was a vision? You just share that real quick. I'm going to close with that. You're like, you're not going to close.
When I was like 18, that one? Yeah. I was getting ready to transition from high school into college, and that summer it was my last year to go to camp, youth camp, and that summer was actually the time when the joy of the Lord had broken out in Canada and in these other areas. Dr. Rodney was actually visiting many of these places, and revival was hitting many places, and it hit Gent, West Virginia. And it was during youth camp that year, and I don't even remember who was speaking, but at the end of the service, I answered the altar call. I don't even remember what that was about. I have no idea what even happened in services that week, but what was left with me was when they went through and they prayed for people, I went out in the spirit and I'm laying there in the grass under a big tent. I don't know how long I laid there, but I saw it was the one of the only times I've seen a vision. But I saw myself in a field, but I was like a young girl. I was 4 or 5 years old, and I could see the form of God. I could not see his face, but it was like I could see his form sitting under a very large tree out in a field. And he was saying to me, "Come on, Miranda, come play with me, play a game, play, come over here and sit down with me and play." And I know that sounds so crazy to most people, but what he was saying to me personally was because I had had a hard time in my life having a relationship with the Heavenly Father, because my earthly father was very strict, authoritarian, and he didn't have time to play because he was always working. And so that was the impression that I was getting of God throughout my life, growing up, learning how to be a right Christian in the Baptist church. And so when that happened, my understanding and revelation of God completely changed. And from that point on, I knew God as someone that had time for me, someone that loved me, not because he just wanted me to do the right thing and to act a certain way, but it was because he had a relationship with me and he wanted to spend time with me. And it was just like in an instant, like what God does. In an instant, he turned things around in my perspective and my revelation of who he was. And so it even began the healing process that I had to how to perceive my own father, understanding that how he was brought up was very similar to how he was being. And so I understood from a different perspective. He was doing the best that he knew how to. And so that even healed my heart and my relationship with him. And so it was really a changing summer for me. And I ended up going to a Christian college that fall. And yeah, so it changed the course of my life.
It's one moment in time. We would have never met. There's no way our paths would have. I mean, you would have not went to Christian college, and you would have ended up at Glenville State College. And crazy how stuff happens, huh? God's got a plan. I don't know. You know, there's a lot that you can read out of Ephesians chapter 5, 4 and 6, 4, 5 and 6. You can read it and read it in a practical sense. You know, the Bible. It was interesting the other night in Pastor Miranda's class. We took Titus and read it in letter form. Understand, Ephesians is a letter given to the church. It's like a letter given to God's people. And we did that with the book of Titus, and Miranda took out it was kind of fun. She took out the numbers, like the not the chapter, but the verse. She took out the verses, and so you read just Titus as a letter, like Paul writing a letter to you personally. And, you know, it was so fun because Zephan looked at me and he's like, "Dad, I've never read the Bible like this before." And he hit me and he was like, and I'm sitting there and thinking, you know, everything that we just read in Titus is like an example and a model of what Kings looks like, our church. And Zephan looks at me and he says, "Dad, this is, Paul is Dr. Morocco." And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. He is like Dr. Morocco, and he's, you know, he goes through and he talks about the church and educates. So praise God. Well, praise God. Hey, before I close, Evangelist Rodney is here. I want you to come on up here. And we had a chance to talk this week, and he's out of a Clarksburg area, out of Center Branch, and he reached out to me this week. I think is Mike a pastor? I don't know what does he do. He was, okay. And so, these guys reached out to me, and they're doing an outreach here in Fairmont. And he said he was going to bring some flyers up. And I have some flyers, but I told him, I said, you know, we've got an evangelistic team, things that we do in the church. And, you know, he called me the other day, and he said, you know what, I'm not, you know, we're not looking for sponsors, but he said, I'm looking for a church that we can partner with, that if people get saved, we can plug those people into your church. And so I said, you know what, let's get together on this, and we'll talk about it. And I'm going to have him just share around the, because, you know, they're giving away a motorcycle. I don't know, who in here wouldn't like to win a motorcycle? Nobody. What's wrong with you guys? Brother John, help me out. Who in here would like to win a motorcycle? Amen. And all the girls, if you don't win it, just give it to your pastor. Amen. Pastor Miranda. Amen. But Evangelist Rodney, if you would, why don't you just share, you can share your heart a little bit about your ministry, what you've been doing. I mean, what you guys shared with me the other day was pretty phenomenal. Amen.
I'm glad you gave this back to me. I forgot. Well, a little bit about me. You know, I'm Rodney Huffman, born and raised West Virginian, if you can't tell in the accent, on the southern part of the state. And when I was 17 years old, I gave my life to the Lord and immediately felt the call of God to go into evangelism. And so came up, moved up here to Bridgeport. There's a ministry school. Went there for 2 years, did a one-year internship. Got on staff for a year, and now I'm doing evangelism my own way. Just felt like the Lord asked me to step out. Started my own ministry in June, I think, of 24. And it's been amazing. I've actually had eyes on kind of Fairmont for 2 years. I think me and Ryan ran into each other two years ago, I think. You and your wife at a TED meeting. I think it was almost 2 years ago now. And 2 years or a year ago, I remember running into, I was like, man, I have eyes on Fairmont. I'm going to do an outreach in Fairmont very soon. And when I do this outreach, I'm going to be sending people to Kings 2 years ago. And it's just interesting that now the vision of this year is to multiply and to grow double. It's just interesting to me. But March 22nd, which is a Saturday, at 11:30 a.m., we're going to start doing registration. It's right over here. I don't even know where I'm at. Across the river one of these ways. That way, at the Knights of Columbus building, you can throw a rock and hit it from here. And when I was praying about it, I felt like, and so in November, I did a week of meetings, and what looked like nothing was coming out of these meetings. I was telling Pastor Brad, the second day of the meeting, one person showed up to the meeting, and I was like, Lord, I'm spending money. What am I doing here? Ended up being a great week altogether, but in that one service, everything kind of switched. Someone came up to me and said, the Lord told me to give you this Harley Davidson. I was like, whoa, okay. And in that moment, in November, the Lord said, now is Fairmont. Now it's time to go to the Fairmont. I said, okay. And so I've been praying. I was seeking the Lord. And then the high school off of Kingsmont, East Fairmont, I was trying to get in there, and it kind of just didn't work out. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, I want to do this outreach. I want to go. And last Wednesday, I think it was, the Lord put it in my heart to call the Knights of Columbus building. I called them. They said, hey, this is normally the flat rate's normally $900 or something. I was like, oh, that's cheap. Let's go. Like, we'll do it. And by the end of the conversation, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm actually going to give you the building for $300. And so we have the building. We'll be giving away the Harley. The way we do these outreaches, we actually be giving away a lot of things. We have it broken down into age groups, like adults and like teens and whatever. So the grand prize is obviously it's a 1996 Harley Sportster. Actually, the picture of the bike on the flyer is the actual bike. The grand prize for the teenagers will be an Xbox One. I think it is a new Xbox. And then the grand prize for the little kids will be like one of those power wheels, like you hop in, you drive around type of thing. And so my heart behind this, you know, I was telling Pastor Brad, when we go to partner with churches, we don't want money. We don't want any of y'all's resources. That's not what we're here to do. You know, the fivefold ministry needs to be together. And, you know, I can go out and get people saved, but if I don't get them discipled, it was all for nothing. You know, the Bible says, you know, when one person comes and got saved, you know, if they never got plugged in somewhere, you know, this is kind of the Rodney version. If they never get plugged in somewhere, he brings seven more spirits more evil than him, comes back and tears it apart. And I've seen that in people's lives that I'm close with who have went out on the streets and told people about Jesus but never told them about a church, never gotten plugged in. And you ask him, you know, 3 years down the road, like, where are you at? He's like, my life has been, you know, living crap since you talked to me. And we know God's a good God, is because someone came alongside and never got discipled, never got plugged in. And so we lean on the church. We lean on this church. Like I said, for 2 years now, I've had eyes. I've known this church, a great church. And so it's now here, now getting able to do this, now getting able to partner with you guys. I'm super excited for this. We're expecting over 400 people to show up to this event. It'll be the biggest one we've done year to date. We've done a couple hundred people at some Christmas events, but this will be the biggest one that we've done ever. And it's going to be right here in Fairmont, two streets over. And, you know, I'm just thankful that you guys get to help out with it. So, awesome.
Well, I'm glad you came. So, you know, I have some flyers, but I want to, you know, if you guys know anybody, like you know, bring the kids. You know, we've been a part of outreaches for years, and you know, and I think it's this is in our back door, and you know, and he shared with me. He said, you know, I want to be able to plug these people into a local body, and he said, I thought of Kings, and you know, then he finds out, you know, we're praying to double. You know, so, and we have an outreach team, right? I mean, like, you know, this is what we do. It's like things that we're praying about. You know, we were in a meeting just a week ago saying, man, we can't wait till the weather breaks. We're getting ready to hit the streets. We're getting ready to do these things. We're doubling in our facilities. We're doubling, and then God just sends he sends somebody that's doing an outreach crusade. You can't really throw a rock to it, but it's close. Amen. So the Knights of Columbus. But it's close by. But I'll be meeting with our go team and our outreach team and talking with this house, and I know Brother John, I know Evangelist Rodney. We were talking about, and he said, man, I don't know if you have any bikers that have a testimony or anything like that. I said, I know a guy that's in our church, and he used to be a biker. So anyway, so he might be talking to you a little bit about taking a few minutes to share even a testimony there, but. But, you know, it's important. The fivefold ministry, you know, is an important thing. These are gifts. We've been teaching on that, right? These are gifts given to the body of Christ, and I'm excited about what the Lord's doing this year. So, and we'll believe with them for souls saved, and we'll believe for people to be discipled. That's the role the church plays, and you know, some of them might need to get saved more than once, like I did. You know, amen. So, praise God. That was a joke, but praise God. So. Amen. I'm feeling ornery tonight. Honey, you better take me to Applebee's. So, amen. Yeah. Praise God. So if you need these, you guys grab these. He left me 500 flyers. They got some. Grab them. Share this. You would say Xbox One for the younger kids. Man, I want an Xbox One. Sheesh. He's giving away a Harley. Amen. Praise God. Anything closing?
We'll be flyering also as time gets closer, so we want to be able to get all of those out as well as many people from the church as possible to be there, because these people need to see faces, they need to see a crowd there, and they need to see those people that are going to be there and love them and be the connector. The more connections that they have from the church, the more likely that they're going to want to come, because I met that person and they go to that church, and they made me feel safe, they made me feel welcome, they made me feel loved. So we're going to need everybody's help, your excitement, your zeal, your yes, this is so much fun, you know, all of those things that you bring to an outdoor crusade. So we want to make sure that you guys have that information, and as we gear up a little bit closer, that's only in what, 3 weeks, something like that, so we'll be needing to hit the streets and get these flyers out. No, not this Saturday.
Not this Saturday, no.
Yeah, before. Yeah. So make sure that you have that on your calendar. So, yeah.
And it's okay if I print more of these? You give us 500. I feel like we can.
If you need more, I have a bunch too.
Okay, I feel like we can get 1,000 out here. So.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.